Okay. Page 66, exercise 11. Translate into English. So, I'll probably go a little bit faster than usual because there's so much stuff here. So if there's anything you want to focus on, just stop me and then we'll just go more slowly over that. Yeah. Okay, so number one, Nako Ahang Abuso Adasanya. So verb, as usual, at the end of the sentence, Adasanya. And this is the aorist of the verb to see. So it means I saw. And you have the agent there is the I, so which actually is given separately. So you have I saw. And then you have the na, which negates the whole sentence. So it basically means I didn't see it. And then you have the abuso, which is like friend or sir or whatever, friend usually. That's just a vocative. She's speaking to somebody. Friend, I didn't see him. Ayang tathagatasa tachima vacha. So here there is no verb. So because there's no verb, it's an equational sentence, and the equation will be between the nominatives of that sentence, and you have to add the verb to be. And the nominatives here are ayang, pachima, and vacha. They're all nominatives. And pachima is an adjective, which means last, and you can see it agrees with vacha, which is a feminine noun, and both have long a's. And then ayang also agrees with that, also nominative. So pachima vacha means last speech. And then that is presumably then equated with the ayang, which is this. So this is the last speech. And then you have the tathagatassa, which is the genitive of the tathagata. So this is the last speech of the tathagata.
This from the sutta?
Yes, yeah. It's from Mahaparinibbana Sutta. Yeah.
And this is or this was?
Yeah, that's a good point. I think in the... it's actually the verb here is actually present tense because there's no verb is given. So if no verb is given, it's always present tense. But it's probably what they call historic present. Mm-hmm. So it actually the correct translation is actually was, even though it's present tense. Yeah. If you go back to chapter 1 and you look at the various ways that present tense can be used, one of them is so-called historic present. Yeah. Pamujang bhavisati sukho cha viharo. So here the verb is bhavisati. It's in the middle of the sentence, but it's up just before the comma there. So bhavisati, it will be, future. The double S gives away its future. Third person, singular. And it's the verb to be. So again, we're dealing with an equational sentence here, but this time with the future of the verb to be. So it will be. And what will be is pamujang. And pamujang means like joy or gladness, something like that. So there will be, so because it is an equational sentence here, and because there's a comma there, you can assume that the meaning of this is that there will be gladness. And then you have the and afterwards, sukho cha viharo, and sukho and vihara obviously agree with each other here, still dealing with a nominative tense. And sukho here is an adjective to vihara, so it means like a happy dwelling or a happy abiding, happy state almost.
And abiding happiness is also okay?
Yeah, and a happy abiding. Well, if you say and abiding in happiness, then you are, I would say you're adding a bit there,
yeah.
Because you're adding the in and...
Yes, the in would have to be the end dot form, to get an ing form.
Yeah, abiding in, you're saying in happiness.
Okay.
Yeah, and that in is problematic because it doesn't really have any... basis in the Pali. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And a happy abiding.
Yeah. There will be gladness and a happy abiding if you're going to be literal. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or a happy state or a happy dwelling or something like that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You have it.
And a happy way of life.
Way of life.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Happy way of life. Then. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It all depends on the context what vihara means.
Yeah,
so.
But
I mean, often vihara is used, for example, in you talk about dwelling in meditation. That's called a happy abiding here. The jhanas are called a happy abiding here now, which is actually happy. Is actually vihara. Ditta dhamma sukha vihara is that jhanas. So happy abiding here and now. So it's a bit difficult because it's not quite clear here where the cha actually relates to. But basically what it seems to relate to is you have the first part of the sentence, pamujjan bhavisati, is that, and then there's the last part. So that seems to be the point here. It's two phrases which are joined together by am. Addasa ko bhagava ta devatayo. So here you have addasa, which again is the aorist, and it's the this is the verb, but it's not at the end, this time it's at the beginning. And usually, if the verb is not at the end, usually you find it at the beginning. Occasionally it's in the middle of the sentence, but it's much more rare. Addasa, third person aorist, so it means he saw. And you look for an agent here, and the other possible agent here, the only possible agent here is bhagava. Because that is also the singular and it's a third person, right? It's like in place of he. So it must mean the blessed one saw. And the ta devatayo could be either nominative or it could be the patient, the accusative. You don't really know. The form is exactly the same. But because the bhagava is already the agent here, this is very likely to be the patient. It has to be the patient, really. And ta devatayo, that agrees with each other, so it means literally those deities or those devas, accusative. So the blessed one saw those devas.
And the ayo ending is the accusative ending of the female.
Yeah.
Nouns.
Yeah, plural.
Plural.
Yeah. Female plural accusative or nominative.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah. It doesn't have to have the yo in it. You can just have a long a as well.
Right.
You're not required. Yeah. You can pick up your sheet, your famous sheet I gave you.
Yeah, I have a look at it. It's very complex.
Yeah. If you look at that sheet, I'll show you how to use it.
We never did get one of those. I have one in here, but
yeah.
I'd like to have one.
Would you? Okay, I was told that you had one, so
I don't. I know.
Yeah.
Well, they put you on.
Yeah.
I don't have one.
Yeah. Yeah. You want one, yeah. Take this one. I got the spare one.
If you have.
Yeah, for the spare one.
I'm also.
Okay, so the way you use this table, I'll show you how to use it now, because it's very handy to get some idea how to use it. So first of all, you have to look at the right side, the right page. There's two places, so don't look on the wrong here. The wrong side. So the right, this is the noun side, where all the nouns are, right? This side here. And the other is verbs and pronouns. So look at the noun side, and then you see at the very top, you see the stem forms, right? Now, so you have to know the stem form of this noun, and devata is a feminine noun in long A, right? So if you go along the top row, you come get to long A in the third column, and it says feminine underneath.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody got that?
Yeah.
Yeah? So that is the right column. Now, if you look down that column and you look for the ayo ending, yeah, you have to go all the way down to the singular, get down to the plural. The plural is after the midway of the page. Yeah. And there you see the ayo ending, nominative plural, and vocative plural, and accusative plural. Got it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's how you find out what the possible declensions are. That's how you have to go through it. That's why you have to know the stem of the noun, and you also have to know the gender of the noun, and then you can figure out the endings.
But which one of those two it is, it doesn't have the noun?
You cannot know. That only context can tell you which one it is of those three. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, does it have a little it's top of the ayo?
A little what?
Yeah, that's the two possibilities. Either it has a long A or it is ayo.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
This is why you have many different endings in each square here, because there are many possibilities often. There are many different ways of writing the same thing. Yeah.
No, I was just asking, because when you translate from English into Pali, it's kind of like, really?
It's
like an
alternative,
you just
Yeah, keep
going.
Precisely, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly right. It doesn't matter, basically. Yeah. Okay, next one. Imina ko evan bo pariyayena jyotipa lassa manavassa mahagovindoti samanya udapari. So here this is quite a difficult sentence, to be honest. But if you start off as usual and carefully, do it stage by stage, you should be able to find out what's going on. First of all, you have here the verb at the very end, as you would expect, udapari. And this verb means to arise. It's from the verb upajati, and it's the aorist of upajati. So it's a third person singular. It means it arose, or it came into being, it came into existence, it arose. And what arose here? You have to look for the nominative which arose. What arose? The What arose here, what is the agent of that verb, if you like? It must obviously be a nominative. And samanya here is a nominative. It means like designation.
What does it mean, designation?
Well, the other alternative here is agreed usage. So it's like the usage, or the agreed usage, the designation, the name, yeah. The name arose, if you like, yeah. That's like, actually, yeah. The name arose. And then you have, so that is the main part of the sentence, the name arose, or the designation or the name arose. Then, after that, you actually, there is no accusative here, which is impossible because udapadi is an intransitive verb, so it cannot have, it doesn't take a patient. So if you start from the beginning here, you have imina pariyayena, which agree with each other. Imina is instrumental, pariyayena is instrumental. And this is a common idiom which means like in this way, basically. Literally, it means through this course, but the kind of idiomatic meaning is in this way. And then you have evang and bo. Evang is thus. Bo is like, sir, you're speaking to somebody. Sir, thus, in this way, the designation arose. And the designation of the name which arose is here the name which comes before the T, right? So that is the, always in Pali, if you want to sort of say, you know, a designation or a name or a thought or a perception or whatever, very, very, very common to have the T ending. In other words, you use a quotation mark to say these things. The designation in quotation marks arose. And so Mahagovindo is that name which arose. And then you have Jyotipalasa Manavasa, which obviously are two words which agree with each other. So this is Jyotip, and they're obviously both in a genitive. So it means of Jyotipala, the young priest, of Jyotipala, the young Brahmin. And that genitive always agrees with the word which comes straight after it. So it means that the designation Mahagovinda of Jyotipala, the young priest, arose. So that designation arose of him for Jyotipala, the young priest. So if you put all of that together, you get something like the designation Jyotipala. How would you say this in English?
Thus, sir, in this way, the young priest
Jyotipala's
designation
came into being. Right, okay, yeah. Yeah, that's one way of putting it. Yeah. You have to sort of, mix it around so it actually sounds right in English. Yeah. The young priest Jyotipala's designation, Mahagovinda, arose in this way, yeah. Does that make sense? If you understand what's going on here, roughly?
I don't even know what
it means that this is how Jyotipala, the young priest, got the name Mahagovinda.
Yeah.
That's what it means. This is how he got this name. Yeah, he got a new name.
Yeah. Your designation here is Peter, even though it's not your name.
Yeah. Okay. Sasato loko. So here we have another equational sentence without a verb. So the verb to be has to be added. So the equation, one thing is the other. Sasato means eternal, loko means the world. So the world is eternal, or eternal is the world. Straightforward. So gatsati dakinan disang. Here the verb is in the middle. Gatsati, he goes. Third person singular, present tense. And you have the so here, which is unusual. So the he is given, and he is obviously the agent here, so he goes. And then you have the destination where he's going, that will be an accusative. And that's dakinang disang. Dakinang is an adjective agreeing with disang. Disang is direction. Dakinang means southern, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So he goes in the southern direction, or to the southern direction. Yeah. Yeah. Could be it goes.
Yeah,
that's true. Yeah, it's a bird. Yeah, that's true. It's, I remember now. It's a bird. Yeah, it goes the same direction. Yeah, it's a simile. There's this shore sighting bird which they let go from a ship because they're on the ship in the middle of the ocean, And they said they let the shore sighting bird off to find out where the shore is. It goes to the southern direction. It goes to the eastern direction. That's what it is.
Yeah, but the context requires that those
who say
it rather than as
the. Yeah, I'm telling you, because I know the context. You don't know the context. I know. Okay. Yeah.
Because
otherwise
it would be like a
pageant
called
Hint
of Making Sure.
Okay. Next one. So next one is Kusalanti pi nabavisati kutopana kusalasa karako. So here we have the verb here is bavisati. So again we have an equational sentence. And I think it's wise here to follow the commas that Eike Wardra has put in, because that makes it much easier. So just do the first part before the comma, first of all. There's obviously a reason why I put those commas in there. So just assume that there's a good reason and follow those commas. So bhavisati is it will be. And so it will, so then you have the na, so it will not be. And what will not be is must be kusalanti, right? Which is like in quotes again. So it means something like the good. And the P here, actually in this case, the P probably means something like even. Sometimes P can mean even. It doesn't always mean two. It can mean even in certain contexts. And here it means something like even, I think, yeah. So what it's saying is that something like, there will even not be the good. That's what that sentence is saying there. There won't even be the good. There won't even be good. That's what it's saying.
Can you, is the
term,
it could also be arise?
Usually it means to be. I think he might have become a rise in the back, but usually be is the right translation. So what you can say, because of the T here, because of the T ending, very often what that means is that there won't even be the perception or the thought or the idea of good. So you can translate it that there won't even be the idea good. Right, even the idea of good won't exist, basically.
I'm sorry, where did you find that idea?
Well, it's because of the T ending. So kusalanti, the T ending usually means, it's quotation marks, right?
Mm-hmm.
It means something you speak, idea. Something you think, something mm-hmm. you perceive, an idea in your head. All of these things are a part of that, yeah. Mm-hmm. So it won't even be the idea good, yeah. Kuto pana kusalasakaroko. So here we have... Again, this is another equational phrase, and here the karako is the agent here, which means the doer. And kusalasa agrees with that, because kusalasa, the genitive, always agrees with the word which follows. So it means doer of the good, and kutopana means something like much less, or not, you know, much less the doer of the good.
Let alone
the doer of the good, precisely. Yeah. There won't even be the idea good, let alone a doer of the good, or doer of goodness, or doer of good.
Is that one of those worldviews that the teachers teach?
No.
Whatever you want, but it doesn't
affect. No, it's not bad. This is from the Dhammacakka Sihanada Sutta. It's in the third volume of the Digana. I think the second sutta of the third volume of the Digana. Second or third sutta? I think it's Digana 26. They talk about the decline of the world, the decline of the lifespan of people. And it comes down to that 10 years old, right? And then at that point, they're just slaughtering each other, and they want even the idea good will disappear there. Much, much less bad. Yeah. That's where it comes from. I'm pretty sure. Yeah. Ahang ko magang agamasing. Here's an easy one, fortunately. So we have the verb at the end again. Agamasing means, it's the aorist of the verb gachati, so it means I went. And of course you have the agent there, I in front, ahang, is right there, so I went. And then you have magang, is where he went, or the goal of the motion, or where he was actually walking on. So I went the road, basically what he's saying here. I went the path. I went the road. I traveled the road. I traveled the path. Something like that.
It's okay to just say on the path, right? that I went on the path? No.
I went on the path.
I went, or I went on the road.
But that's almost an instrumental, I went, isn't it?
Yeah, I think this is more like I walked the path. I walked the way. So you know, it means that you traverse a certain road. I think if you literally want to say I walk on the path, you have to have a different case. You have to have locative case, because locative case,
it doesn't say walk. So if you say, if it's went.
Yeah, but here, but this, the point is that, you know, a Pali verb can be translated many different ways in English depending on the context. This is what makes it difficult.
Well, if the verb can be changed, why can't the...
It could do. I agree with you. It could do. You would have to see the context to be absolutely sure. But generally speaking, if you want to say the location or way of doing something, and that's what it's saying by saying, I walked on the path, on the road. Mm-hmm. If you want to talk about location, you usually have to use the locative case. Locative case is all about location. We get to that later on. Huh? So if you want to say on, in, or something like that, it's usually locative. Yeah. This is not absolute. This is not absolute. So... none of these things are absolute, but that's a general kind of idea.
What about saying walking to the road? Why not?
To again is the
location.
I walk to the road. It could mean that as well. It could mean I walk to the road. Yeah. If you said gamang gatsati, it would mean I go to the village. So it could mean that, but. I think all of these things, you really need to see the context to actually see what it means. When you see the context, it becomes quite clear. Yeah. 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 These are very refined points that you're bringing up, and you're right. Both of you could be right.
I mean, it's not clear to me why you can change the... Why you can be loose in translation in one case and not in the other.
The reason is because if you go back to the chapter on the accusative case, you will see that one of the meanings that he gives for the accusative, the accusative case may likewise express the extent of space traversed. So if you're talking about he walks the road, he walks the path, in other words, he has traversed that space on the road. That is one of the usages of the accusative. Right?
Oh.
So the accusative, the point is that each case is used in a certain number of ways. And that is one of the ways that it is used. But I don't think it is used to say, I'm walking on the road. And you have to know the idiom and how it works in each case.
So what it means is he walked the entire path.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't know that.
That's what I think.
I didn't get that at all.
He walks the whole road. He walks the entire path. Yeah.
Because the same thing arose in my mind, I was thinking like you walk by the road, but then I realized, well, by, it must clearly be an instrumental.
Yeah.
And then
you mean like by other road in sense?
Yes.
To me, I can't say that because I don't know the idioms in Pali. I can't say that it should be that way.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Just because it's written in English doesn't mean that.
Precisely. And this makes it very hard. And that's why, you know, you don't have to worry too much about it if you don't get it quite right. Because basically, it's impossible to know, sometimes. Yeah. Hmm. Unless you had actually gone back to chapter 2 and looked up the accusative and figured out that was the idiom which fit the best in this case. That was the only way you could really figure it out. Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. Anyway, so let's go to the next one. Kalyanam Bhuchati Brahmana. So here the verb is obviously vuchati in the middle again, and it's a passive verb, means it is called. So you look for an agent that would normally have to be in the instrumental, because it's passive, and there's no by anybody, there's nobody actually doing the calling. So kalyana would be the object in the accusative here. So it is called beautiful, kalyana, it is called beautiful. And then you have Brahmana, which is just a vocative. The short A ending always gives it away as a vocative. So you're talking to this fellow, you're saying, Brahmin, it is called beautiful.
What if I said beautifully? It's
not beautiful, it's saying,
okay.
That's for
beautiful. Okay. Well, that will depend on the context. So the context probably shows that in this case, the Buddha is saying to somebody, well said, Brahmin, beautifully said. And this is one of the usages of the accusative is they can be used as adverbs. In other words, it can qualify the actual verb. So in that case, you would translate it as beautifully said. In English, all the ly endings are adverbs, right? So whenever you have an ly ending, it's an adverb. Beautifully said, yeah. It is called, either one of those is possible. It is beautifully said, or it is called beautiful, yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Rather imprecise language. I wouldn't say so, it's very precise. Right?
Yeah.
English is an incredibly vague language.
This is true. No, English is not an incredibly vague language.
Yeah.
I think we're not going through. There's, oh, sorry, this is an exception of the accusative case. No, here's another exception, like you would be doing if you're teaching English.
It may seem quite imprecise, but I think the reason why it seems imprecise is because you were taking out very tiny fragments of a sentence here.
Yeah.
Once you get the whole thing, it is actually quite, it's very easy, and it falls into place very nicely here, most of the time. Here. And also, we're being very finicky here, you know. I mean, we're really pulling it apart into the kind of tiny details, so. Usually, people are not affinity with language. Okay. The next one is a long sentence, but actually it's not that difficult. So it shows you how a long sentence can be constructed without being too difficult. Attako raja maha sudasano vamena hatena binkaran gahetva dakinena hatena chakaratanam abu kiri. When you have a sentence like this, first of all, figure out what all the verbs are. Right? And you've got two verbs here. You have gahetva, and you have abukiri, two verbs. So start with the first verb, and do everything which leads after that verb, first of all. So gahetva means having taken. It's one of these gerunds, absolutis. It means having taken. It always has the same form, so it's very easy. You ask yourself, what is the agent here? And the agent is still always in the nominative, and the nominative must be here, Raja Mahasudassano. So the king Mahasudassano, having taken. And what he has taken would be in the accusative. So what is taken must be Binkaranga, the ceremonial vase. So king Mahasudassana, having taken the ceremonial vase, and then you have Vamena Hatena, which is the instrumental. So that is the instrument by which you take the vase. And vamena is the adjective which agrees with hatena, but means with the left hand, or by the left hand, or with the left hand. Atakom is then. Atakom is just like a unified sentence with the rest of the paragraph. So then, King Mahasudassana, having taken the ceremonial vase with the left hand, right? That's the first part of the sentence. The last part then is abukiri is the verb. It's an aorist and it's a third person singular, so it means sprinkled. He sprinkled. So again, remember that when you have two verbs like this, the agent of the verbs is the same. So Raja Mahasudassana is still the agent of abukiri. But the thing that he sprinkles, the patient here can be different for each verb. So the patient in this case is Chakaratanang, wheel jewel. Chaka wheel, ratanang jewel, literally wheel jewel. So he sprinkles the wheel jewel, and the instrument now this time is dakinena hatena. So dakinena, right, adjective which agrees with hatena, with the right hand. So the whole thing becomes then King Mahasudassana, having taken the ceremonial vase with the left hand, sprinkled the wheel gem with the right hand. Yes?
Mm-hmm.
Is the wheel gem
a
myth?
Or is this
a gaze? Oh, the wheel gem?
Yeah.
Oh, this is one of those kind of mythological things that if you have one of these wheel turning monarchs, they have this wheel that's supposed to appear here. And the wheel sort of guides him to conquer the whole area, and this is called the wheel gem, the wheel spins and all this kind of thing. So it's a mythological thing which you find in the sutras. The seven treasures of a wheel turning monarch is one of the seven treasures.
But did they take the wheel to Buddhism from
there? No. Is it something similar, like he goes by the Dhamma? Something like that.
Goes by the Dhamma?
wheel turning monarch.
He rules
by the
Right, he rules by the monarch, exactly. But the wheels, this trip, that's a separate thing here.
Okay.
The wheels over here is a separate thing on that. The wheel is a good question, where does a wheel come from? It might be related to that, you know. Mm-hmm. And the wheel is a very common kind of idea in Buddhism.
It's really cool story, image of this wheel that goes flying all around.
It's strange, isn't it? Yeah. It's strange ideas.
Wherever it goes in each direction, he
follows after the wheel, and then he conquers the land, that area, but through Dhamma, through righteousness. He says to the people, keep the five precepts, that sort of thing. It's a wheel turning monarch, it's like a good monarch, kind of Buddhist mythological good monarch.
It's kind of the Holy Grail thing.
Holy Grail.
But
it's also a symbol.
Kind of like Bodhisattva is many times a wheel turning monarch and all this kind of stuff.
Okay. Anyway, we better move on because it's getting late already. Iddang kusalang. This is a straightforward equational sentence. You add the verb to be, and you get this is good. Straightforward. Ayang jambudipa iddo ceva bhavisati pitocha. So again, another equational sentence. The verb is bhavisati. It will be. So take the part before the verb first of all. And you get ayang jambudipa, agree with each other. This jambudipa. Jambudipa is a word for India at the time of the Buddha. So basically, this India will be iddo, will be powerful. And then you have the and. And then the pito at the end, so that's two things which are added together here, is iddo and pito. So this India will be powerful and wealthy or something like that.
What does Eva
mean? Eva is an intensifier, which means something like indeed. Mm. This India will indeed be powerful and
Can you say become, be, instead of be, can you say will become, no?
Yeah, it sounds better in English, doesn't it? So, because it's future tense, I will say yes. Miccha patipanno tvang asi ahang asmi sama patipanno. Now, this is one of those famous debate statements that you have in the suttas where people are debating with each other. And the verb here, the first part before the comma, asi, means you are. Asi is you are. It's from the verb ati. It's just ordinary present tense. And the agent there is tvang, you are. And the patipanno here is a past participle, which means literally practiced. But as I said before, sometimes the past participle has to be translated as a present participle in English. So practicing is actually better here. And it agrees with you. So it is basically here, you are practicing. And then miccha is wrong. So you are practicing wrong or wrongly. You are practicing wrongly, the first part. And the last part is the exact same idea. Ahang asmi, I am. And patipanno agreeing with I, the O ending there. So I am practicing samma. I'm practicing properly. I'm practicing rightly. So patipanno here is a past participle, but it's in a sense, it's working almost like a noun. It's agreeing with the I and with the you here. You are practicing. I am practicing. Direct agreement with us, with the those pronouns. So tatto chutta id upapanno. So the first part here we have two past participles, chutto and upapanno. And chutto means to fall away. So chutto means fallen away. So it's a passive here. It's a passive, but it agrees with the saw. You can see the saw here is what it agrees with. So saw is like the patient. So that is what is falling away here. And saw is obviously he or it. So it fallen away. Tato means from here. So it fallen away from here. Or it has fallen away from here. Iddu papanno. Papanno is arisen. Again, another past participle. It also agrees with saw. And iddu papanno is a contraction of idda and upapanna. So idda means here, upapanna means arisen. So he, fallen away from there, has arisen here, or arisen here. Not particularly easy, but
that's because the last word says so much, so many things.
Yeah.
The first part is kind of clear, but then the last part,
yeah.
Just one learning to open traction.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a classic German, word building. Just stick it all together.
It is, yeah. Same in the Norwegian language, for example. You can really make big words, actually. Yeah. Adasa paribhajako bhagavantang agachantang. So adasa is one verb, agachantang another. Adasa means is an aorist, third person singular. He saw, and the he who did the seeing was the paribhajako. You see the nominative singular there. Paribhajako is like a wanderer, one of these ascetics at the time of the Buddha. So the wanderer saw, and what he saw was Bhagavantanga, the Blessed One. So the wanderer saw the Blessed One, accusative. And Agachantang here is a present participle, as you can see from the ant ending, and it agrees with Bhagavantanga. So it's the Blessed One who is coming, right? The Blessed One coming. So the Paribhajako saw the Blessed One coming here, quite literally. Sanya upajanti pi nirujanti pi. So here, this is quite a straightforward one. You have two verbs, upajanti and nirujanti, and they're both present third person plural. They arise, they cease. They arise, they cease. And the agent here, because you have two verbs, is the same for both of them, it's sanya. Perceptions arise, pi is like and they cease. Perceptions arise and perceptions cease. Either way. Bhagavato abado upaji. So upaji here is aorist. Again, it means to arise. It means the third person singular. It means he arose. It arose. Is obviously the right thing here. Sorry, it arose is the right thing here because abado is the agent. So, abado arose, an illness arose. And Bhagavato of the Blessed One. So in other words, the Blessed One got ill, basically. So an illness arose of the Blessed One. The Blessed One got ill, essentially, what it's saying here. He got sick.
So it happened once in a while, or just one occasion?
Yeah, he had the problems. He had backaches and many kind of things in the suttas. So, yeah, particularly towards the end of his life, he had many things. Yeah. Yo. Yeah. Sambarang apajati. Apajati is like to undertake. So present tense, third person singular, he undertakes. And what he undertakes is sambarang, which means restraint. He undertakes restraint.
Okay, that makes sense, because we have in translations, he acquires, produces, or gets.
Yeah.
You can't get restrained or produce or acquire restraint.
You can say acquire, maybe. Yeah. He acquires it.
Yeah, he acquires the character of restraint.
Yeah.
Because then you're doing it.
I'm wondering whether undertake is correct though. What have I said in my answer sheet there?
Acquires.
I'm not sure whether a apajati can mean undertake, actually, whether it actually must mean acquire.
Okay.
I'm not sure about that. Okay. It may just mean, this may simply mean in English, he is restrained. That may actually be what I mean to say.
Yeah,
he's got
the perfect.
He is restrained. Yeah, he is restrained. Yeah. That may be actually the idiomatic meaning. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. Okay. Aham ko kamman akasing, kamman ko paname karantasa, kayo kilanto, handahan mi pajami. Okay, so follow the.
Sorry, just going back to that one.
Yeah.
Sorry. I was just analyzing it like that. Abhajati is a verb, and then sambarang is more like the adverb of it, like it's a describing it, like the green car. You know what I mean? Like
it's an adverb.
Yeah, it's so that's why he acquires restraint. You know, he takes on the characteristic of restraint.
I think no. Well, if it is an adverb, it would have to qualify the verb. So it would mean that it would mean something like it can't be that.
It can't be an accusative. Then
it must be an accusative. Yeah. Just an ordinary accusative. He acquires. Yeah, he gets restrained. He is restrained. He acquires restraint. Yeah.
Okay, I was thinking of it as sort of acting as an adjective, describing the verb. If you know what I mean? He acquires, what does he acquire? He acquires restraint.
Yeah, but what he acquires is different from the adverb, is he here? If acquire, for example, you would say, how can you have an adverb for acquire? Fast acquiring, for example. That's how you actually.
Okay.
The fast acquiring, or you can say, easily acquired. That's another one. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Easily acquired. Right. Sorry.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's quite a different way of doing that. Yeah. How it works. Okay. So this next sentence here, Aham ko kamman. Start with the first part. Aham ko kamman akasing. Akasing is aorist, first person singular. So I worked or I did. And here the agent again is aham, so I did. And what I did is kamman, the work. So I did the work. Or I worked the work. Or I something like that. I did the work. And then the next one here, you have kamman ko paname karontassa kayo kilanto. I think we've seen this before actually, but this is actually quite a difficult one to analyze. And to actually analyze this, if you start with the first verb here, it's karontassa. And if you are very sharp, you recognize that me in karontassa, me is actually potentially also a genitive here, and so is karontassa. Karontassa is a present participle, it means doing, and it's genitive. And you have me, which is I. So what this is actually a genitive absolute. So it means while I am doing. That's what those two words mean. While I am doing. It loses the genitive sense, and it becomes, you get the while instead of. So that means while I am doing, and the kamman there, which goes before, is part of that phrase. So while I am doing the work. And then you have kilanto. The body is tired. Body is tired. Kilanto is a past participle. It agrees with kayo. So the body becomes tired, basically. So while I'm doing the work, the body becomes tired. Then you have the last phrase, which is an easy one. Handahang nipajami. Nipajami, I lie down. And then ahang is I, is the agent there. And handa is like well, or something like that. Well, I lie down. And nipajami here is actually the present tense. But remember that present tense can sometimes be used in Pali as something which happens immediately in the future. So the right way of translating in English is I will lie down, probably. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a question I had. Couldn't it be that what you were talking about before, the present, couldn't it be the past?
Historic present.
Historic present.
Not really, because that's used only in narrative. Now, this is not a narrative, this is somebody actually speaking here. Yeah, usually only narrative passages you have the historic present. This historic present. This here is more like a present used as future coming up very soon. So it means I will lie down. Yeah. So the whole meaning of this is something like I did the work. While I was doing the work, the body became tired. In other words, my body became tired. Well, I will lie down now.
I have a second question.
Yeah, yeah.
Just that. On kilanto, that's the present part of the participle, right? The past participle?
It looks like a present participle, but actually it's a past participle.
That's the question. It looks like a present participle. So how do you know which is which, and what's the difference between those for that verb? I mean, what would be the difference? Or is there a difference?
I don't know what the present participle would look like. I'm not even sure if it exists, if it's ever used. But all I know is that is the past participle, because I just know it. This is one of those things, nothing is completely, sometimes you just have to know things because it's different from what it normally is. Am I right? Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it is a present participle. Right? Have you looked it up?
Well, I couldn't find it. I mean, I couldn't find it. It was impossible. And it has the same form, so... That's my question.
I hope I'm not leading you astray here and telling you complete nonsense. Let's have a look. No, kilanto is a past participle,
yeah.
It's in the list at the back. There's a nice verbal list at the back of the book.
I mean, I'm not saying that it isn't. What I'm saying is,
Yeah.
What about the present participle? How would it look? I mean, it seems like that's the same form.
It could be the same form.
As we saw other forms here. So I couldn't tell.
It could, no, I think the present participle might be kilamanto.
Kilamanto.
Because the root is kilam, kilang.
Oh.
And then you add the ta, and when you add the ta, the m gets turned into n. That's why you have. That's why you get kilanto. So the
kilamanto.
It might be kilamanto, the present participle. But I could be completely wrong. It could be something completely different because this could be idiomatic, have a form. It could be form idiomatic.
I mean, I'm not so concerned with that word. It's more the idea that I couldn't tell the difference.
Yeah.
And then you were able to find it in the book.
Yeah. I'll show you how to. There's a very useful table at the back.
Yeah.
So if you go to page
375.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, there you have it.
Okay. And you look down the root, all the roots there, and you go down to Kilanga, the very first column of his Endophyma. You go down the column until you get to Kilanga, Kilam, towards the very end there. Now that is the root we're talking about here. You see Kilamati there, and then you go across to the right, and you see Kilamati is the present tense.
Yes.
And then you have Kilanta there, past participle.
Right.
Yeah. And you will notice that there is nothing given for the present participle.
That means it's hardly ever used.
Quite well, it's not used in this book anyway. Yeah. That's what it means. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's silly. Why doesn't he just do it on the whole thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well,
all right.
Question is: do you use my body in this kind of sentence ever, or just use I?
I think you would, because if in English it would sound really funny if you don't use my.
Yeah, but in is it implied or does it mean the pronoun?
It's implied.
That is.
But I don't think it actually. The Pali doesn't say. Pali. I mean, that's what we discussed last time when Sangharatna was saying, couldn't me kharantasa actually be an ordinary genitive? Right? And it could be. And if it is an ordinary genitive, then it actually means my body. You could translate something as my body, which is doing the work, is tired. Mm. You can translate something like that. That's a possibility as well.
But if you would have
me is my hand.
My.
Me is right there. That's a genitive of the of me. Yeah. Me or my hang is another one.
My body, but if you say my body, me kayo.
Yeah, me kayo, exactly. Yeah.
Right.
So it can be that. You can take karon pasta as an adjective to me, qualifying me, and it could mean of me who is doing the work, who is doing, right?
No, but that's just in that sentence. If you want to say, like, my body is beautiful, for example,
but
then you have to have a me and a kayo and.
Kalyana. Mekayo, Kalyana, something like that.
Kalyana, Mekayo,
probably.
It would be so easy if you just say, you know, thanks to Kayo into Kalyanti, Kayami, my body. That's what you're doing, Finnish. You're just explaining that you have to communicate the nouns.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's so new to me. It's so easy. Yeah. You said you don't have to, it's just my body.
How do you say that in Finnish?
Room is Kayo, and it's my body is Rumini, and your body is Rumisi.
Is it my body or is it of the body? You're saying that?
No, it's
Rumi.
My body.
Is it my body?
Yeah,
so you conjugate
the noun.
Yeah,
so you conjugate it. It's so easy.
Okay.
And it makes
sense.
Okay,
that's
interesting, yeah.
That's why Finnish is the unique language in the world.
You don't have to say. So you always say, you know. So that's what I was thinking. You know,
nobody's interested, please.
Nobody's
interested, please. It didn't take off.
Okay, yeah.
That would be.
Finish didn't take off, please.
But it may.
Yeah.
It still exists.
The take off of the world, the Finnish, would be deep trouble. I had to retrain it.
Is the next lesson very large?
Okay, come on.
Let's continue. Why are you asking here?
Couldn't do the translation.
Maybe we can do the translation. Yeah, we can do the translation into English, into Pali, together with the next lesson.
If that's okay.
Yeah, sure. We can
but
do that.
But the next lesson is quite long. It's
12. It's 12 as well, yeah. But I think usually we go through the groundwork quite quickly compared to the exercises.
So why don't you do the lesson first and then do the exercises?
Sure. Yeah, that's a good idea, actually.
I think I will learn more if I do it first.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, let's just do the last one here before we call it a day. Imang mayan adasana idda upapannan. So here the verb is first of all adasama, we saw, and you have the mayhang in there. So the mayhang is we, that's the agent, so we saw. And what we saw is imang. Imang is the accusative. So it's like he. So we saw him. We saw him. Idda upapannan. It dies just here, it's indeclinable. Upapannang arisen, so arisen here. We saw him arisen here. So arisen, upapannang agrees with imang, right, with he. So he, literally, he who is arisen here. We saw he who is arisen here. We saw him arisen here.
Re-arisen.
Yeah. Re-arisen.
Yeah.
Okay, reborn. Yeah. It means rebirth.
Reborn.
Yeah, rebirth. Yeah. So, yeah. The next lesson is a long one. There's a lot of important stuff in the next one. This really, you really start to learn how to put sentences together in this one. Yeah. So have a good look at it. The dative case is pretty straightforward. Yeah. But it's when it comes to the things with the relative pronoun and relative clause, that's when it gets a bit tricky because you have to get your head around how it's constructed, basically. Yeah. But it's important. It's very important to actually for being able to read Pali properly to understand relative constructions. So that is coming up, just a preview of what's coming up.
Trailing.
So trailing, that's right.